Okay, we left off last week. So we were trying to take all these sodas that we spend so much time with in terms of the principle of Kol HaMitzvos Mevarach Le'Mavol HaSiyasan, and finally try to relate it to Lulav, because that's really how we got it from in the first place. It's hard to believe that in the last 3 weeks we spent so much time talking about brachas on Tevila B'mikvah and Nitilas Yadayim and Amachatir Shabbos, that we may have forgotten that the whole thing was coming to lead us into what we're up to in terms of Kol HaMitzvos Mevarach Le'Mavol HaSiyasan, in terms of the mitzvah of Lulav. So the very end of the shiur, as we pointed out, the Tosis deals with the problem that every time we recite a bracha on Atilas Lulav, l'chora, the bracha is too late, because with the Agbe Nafik Bey, once we pick it up, so then we're ready Yetzi, so it's already no longer Mevarach HaSiyasan, and especially in light of the view of the Rambam and the way quite possibly we pass him that Mevarach HaSiyasan is really Ma'akeh B'Dieved. So what right do we ever have to recite a bracha on the lulav? So Tosfos came up with a few creative solutions last week. One of them is the most popular one that we use, is that we flip the esrog upside down before the bracha, that we were not really yaitzeh by picking it up. Tosfos discussed the possibility of picking up three of the four minim. Tosfos discussed the possibility of having kavanah shelo lotzeis. But it's the next solution of Tosfos that really opened up a whole new world and sets the stage for today's shiur. So let's go back to Tosfos and Daf Lamed Tes. The second Tosfos, Ovel HaSiyasan, and we'll pick it up on, it's actually the last of the skinny lines. The last word second to last of the skinny lines, it's the last word. Inami, Mishum de lo gomra mitzvasai at achania nua. The reason why it's okay to recite the bracha after you picked it up, you don't have to turn the esrog upside down, and you don't have to pick up only three out of four, and you don't have to have negative kavana. It's perfectly okay to just pick up the dal minim and then make the bracha. You know why? Because you haven't finished the mitzvah yet. You may have picked up the lulav and esrog, but you didn't shake it yet. And kol zman yav bin minane, you haven't shaken the lulav and esrog, the mitzvah hasn't been completed. So now Tosfos says now a new klal within Kol HaMitzvos Mevarach Le'Mavol HaSiyasan. Mevarach HaSiyasan doesn't have to be before the beginning of the mitzvah. As long as it's before the end of the mitzvah, it's also okay. Some mitzvahs have one split second of mitzvah, and other mitzvahs have different components, different parts of it. So the mitzvah of the Tilas Lulav has two parts. There's the picking up of the Lulav and Esrog, and then there's the shaking of the Lulav and Esrog. And as long as you chop the bracha before the end, that's also called Kol HaMitzvos Mevarach Le'Mavol HaSiyasan. And Tosa says, we even have a precedent for this. We mentioned this actually in a little bit of different context last week. This is one of the reasons why we recite the bracha on Atilas Yadayim after we wash our hands with water before we dry them. Because since we didn't finish the mitzvah until the hands are dry, you're not really supposed to eat the bread until your hands are dry. What's the same thing? That tells us making an equation on the board that there's Natilas Yadayim and there's Niguv, it's the same word, Natilas Lulav, and there's Nianua. Even both.
Niguv, you don't know. It's
easy to remember. So it's like the LSAT question. Natilas Yadayim to Niguv, washing hands to drying hands, is like picking up a Lulav to shaking the Lulav. So as long as you haven't finished the entire mitzvah, the complete mitzvah, that's also called Avalas Yasin. And then Taisa says, you know what? That comparison, that deviant is not 100% accurate. Milo dami kulei, the nianua eino ella machshirei mitzvah the alma v'lo ma'akev. So Taisa says that nianua shaking is not ma'akev. If I don't shake the lulav, I'm yaitzi anyway. It's not like washing my hands. If I wash my hands and don't dry them, so Taisa is assuming that I wasn't yaitzi until Sinaim altogether. That's a lashna gemara. Also, so says Tosfos, when you have two parts of a mitzvah, two stages of a mitzvah, two actions, and the second one is ma'akev, so then we could say this idea that Kol HaMitzvos is sufficient before the second stage. But when you're dealing with the second step, which is not makiv anyway. It's not so important. It doesn't really matter anyway. The second step, the yaitzidal meaning without doing it. So that's kind of much more difficult to justify that second step as being the overlasi also. So Tosfos is not backing out entirely from their teretz. They're just saying that that dimyon, that raya that we have to see daim, is not as ironclad, not as proof to raya as we suspected that it was. But achrei klasikal, Tosfos sticking to the guns. Tosfos is saying this is an acceptable teretz, that this could justify our reciting the bracha on the lulav, even though we have already picked it up, because we have not yet shaken the lulav. So we're going to put the raya on hold, because the raya is debatable, but the basic sheet of Tosfos is still standing. Which so let's just for a moment what Tosfos means. Let's see if we can just fine tune what exactly Tosfos means with their teretz. What does the teretz even mean? So let's think for ourselves. I'm going to get back to, you know, it's closer to Purim and Pesach season. I'm going to get back, because I'm back in the Sukkot mode for a minute. If I would say to you, shaking a lulav is a sufficiently important part of the mitzvah to justify the bracha preceding it and be fulfilling the din of Avodas Yosod. I just have one question to ask you. Which shaking is Tosfos referring to?
Oh, Rabbi, that's what I wrote. Yes. That's what I was going to ask you.
So Baruch Hashem, so yes. So there are two distinct acts of shaking of the lulav that we do. The emphasis is we shake the lulav multiple times, but halachically there are clearly two different sets of shaking, two different sets of waving of the nanuim of the lulav. The one time is the nanuim, the waving, the shaking of the lulav that occurs immediately following the bracha, at the time of netila, and then the second set of waving the lulav, it also, there are different times of halo. At the beginning of Hodu, at the end of Hodu, on Hashem Hashiach, so there are multiple times within halo, but at least as a unit, those are the nanuim of halo, halodik and nanuim. So there are two different nanuim. There's nanuim b'tchilo, and there's nanuim b'shas halel. So which nanuim is Tosfos referring to? If I'd ask you, Misvar, what would you think? If you had a choice between picking the nanuim of b'shas habracha or the nanuim of halo, which one would you say?
B'shas habracha.
What? I would say b'shas bracha for a very lomdish reason, very almost like a simple lomdish reason.
But then, if you take l'chora,
the nanuim of halel are not really part of the mitzvah of lulav. L'chora, if they're done in halel, they're part of halel. They're a kim of halel. Again, I didn't say the ma'akev of the yevam halel. But the lechatchila manner to recite halal one sukkah is with nanui halulav. So that's a part of the mitzvah of halal. The first nanuim that we perform at the time right after the mitzvah, that's a different kind of nanuim. That's a lulavdika nanuim. It's a brisket. Who would have ever thought? It's one shake. It's the same lulav, same hands, the same directions. It's not two different lulavdishim halal. One is a kiyam of lulav, and one's a kiyam of halal. If our assessment is correct, that it makes perfect sense that you want to tell me that the nanum of lulav can somehow we can kvetch and justify that for being called over lasiyosan min makabel, that I accept. But you want to tell me that the nanuim of halel are going to help me? It's a different mitzvah. It's a living. It's like almost like Moshe Modavadoma. A person ate matzah, forgot to make a bracha. Oh, no problem. I'll make alachiras matzah. You know why? Because I didn't eat the bar yet. Mars are different mitzvahs. Matzah may not be the best marshal, maybe for other reasons. But I'm doing two different mitzvahs. So the person's going to say, I'm gonna read the Megillah and I'll make the bracha afterwards. Why? Because I didn't put my tefillin on yet today. So it's called Ovelas Yasin. It's the wrong mitzvah. It has to be Ovelas Yasin of that mitzvah. So Maya Hanilon, what do I care that I haven't done the shaking of halal for? How in the world is that going to salvage my bracha lulav to be still called labeled as avodas yosod? So
I mean, can't we just said that it's not really? It's really a hechsher mitzvah anyway. It's not even really a real part of the netila. So maybe it wouldn't matter that it's based on halal.
Well, it's true that it's a hechsher in the sense of it's not ma'akiv in the mitzvah, but it has to be part of the mitzvah. It's not part of the mitzvah. So then, how in the world can we justify that as avodas yosod? Different mitzvah legamri? The guy did mitzvah A, and now he's making a bracha mitzvah B. So how does that help me?
Where does the Hoshanot go?
What?
The nanuim and the Hoshanot. Which part is that?
Well, Hoshanas is another story. Wait, not even talking about Hoshanas. Hoshanas is a minig b'alma. Hoshanas is not even dealing the Gemara altogether. So we'll leave that out of the picture for now, at least for now. We'll make it come back to it a little bit later. So, l'chora, if I was guessing on which Nanuim Taisus was referring to, I would probably guess they're referring to the first Nanuim, and they would have a lot of difficulty justifying the Nanuim b'shas ha'halel to be able to suffice to be called over l'asiyasa. That would be my suggestion. Do we have any indication from Taisus? Not really, because Taisus doesn't say which Nanuim. They leave us in the dark. They don't tell you. So I'm comfortable enough to put a guesswork into about a bet, 50-50 chance of Nanuim. I would think that the Nanuim are the first ones. However, if one opens up a Gemara Maseches Pesachim on the Zion of the days,
what daf? I'm sorry.
The Zion of the days. If your mouth will not say, so Tosis, dear mouth will not say, it's a very short Tosis. The first word in the line is let's say also. The end of the line. Adam note the lulav. There's no need to turn the esrog upside down. You know why? What's the next word? Bahalel. Taisim Sachem says exactly what we were kind of guessing and hoping they weren't going to say. Taisim says, because you can be Menaneah and Halel, therefore it's still okay. Therefore you're still good to go. And then it gives the other aids that we spoke about last week. Oh, Meshum Shein wrote what Taisi also the Tila. That was again. That was sort of the previous year. So Taisus here in Sochim is being Merames what they wrote in Masechah Sukkah. But whereas in Sukkah they don't identify which Nanum they're talking about, here in Sochim they do. And we have a lot of work to do. Taisus here has identified the Nanum of Halel. It makes it even more difficult to understand. Do we have reason to believe that the Tais in Sukkah, by not identifying the Nanum of Halel, Dafka didn't mean Halel? If they meant Halel, they would have said the word. They could have written the three extra letters Halel if they wanted to. Was it in Milsa, the Pshit of the Tais in Sukkah, that's the first Nanum that are going to carry today and not the second ones of Halel? We have a few possible questions flying around here. We don't understand the Tais here. We're not quite sure what the Tais in Sukkah said. And it would appear from the Tais in Sukkah that somehow the Nanuim of the Bracha wouldn't solve the problem. Because all Taisus needed was to find one set of Nanuim. What did they have to run the Halel for? What was wrong with the Nanuim of the Bracha in the first place? We have a lot of ambiguity flying around between these Taisus. Are they saying the same thing, not saying the same thing? And what is each one saying? And what's the love of this? And what is the relationship between the Nanuim and the Halel and the Bracha and the Mitzvah? A lot of things up in the air. Just again, all revolving around the same tenets. The one basic thrust of the Teretz is you don't have to turn the esrog upside down. No need to enter kavanah, just rely on nanuim. But again, we're not sure which one, or for whatever which reason. Let's see if we get a little bit of a background to the nanuim in general before we can attack, try to understand his tense.
Wouldn't the bracha of the halal be too much of a hefsek between the bracha on the lulav and the nanuim to make that over last yes?
Right. You mean and Toz is still willing to call it. Toz is still okay with it. You're right.
I think we said similar with the bracha of Lachniso. We said
right. We try not to make too many hefsekim. You're right. We try very hard not to make hefsekim. You're right. Right. So that's a technical issue in terms of relying on the name of the Allah. Very good. So I'll say something startling. We started off a moment ago by saying everybody knows there are two different sets of Nanum that we do. They're the Nanuim b'shas ha-bracha, and the Nanuim b'shas ha-halel. And again, within the shas ha-halel, there are multiple times, but we're not focusing on the details right now. The Nanuim ha-bracha and the Nanuim ha-halel. We even gave a lumdish terminology to say ones that did the lulav, ones that did the halel. We're already on a roll in terms of the lumdus. So I'll ask you a question. Who says you do these two sets of Nanuim? Because it says it in the Siddur, it says it in the Machzer. Make a bracha, shake the lulav. Bishtei, you have to shake b'shas ha-bracha.
But it fits with
the bracha. You have to shake b'shas ha-halel. Where did all this come from? So, nanuim b'shas ha-halel, you don't need much for that. Those are Mishnayos later on. Mishnah says explicitly that Mishnah talks about the Nanuim. Let's see if I can just find the Mishnah explicitly. So give me 1 second. Yes, the previous Mishnah, the Flamed Zayin Amud Beis. Take a look back to Flamed Zayin Amud Beis. So the Mishnah says, "V'heichalay menanim, where do you shake the lulav? V'haydu l'Hashem t'chilu b'sayif." So the first holdu that you say, and then the holdu at the end of Hallel. Uvan Hashem Hashiana, Debi Beisilel, Hesham Yom Af An Hashem Atzlichana, Machleg Zetanoim, but you also say An Hashem Atzlichana. Those are the details already. But everybody agrees that there are basic points in the recitation of Hallel that you do not know. So that's the Mishnah. But I'll tell you a secret. In 50-plus B'lad Masechah Sukkah, it never says explicitly that you actually shake the lulav B'Shas HaBracha. That's it. There's no Gemara that says Tana Rabbanan, no Mishnah that says Tanan, you have to shake lulav B'Shas HaBracha. It doesn't say it anywhere. But let's take a look at Tosfos. On Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Tosfos Masechta Lamed Zayin Beis, the different Maskel B'Hodu. B'Hodu L'Hashem, so let's take a look at the end of that Tosfos. It's the it's the first middle-sized lines in the Tosfos. Right? When the skinny lines come to an end, so the first of the wider lines in that Tosfos, the last word line is B'Shas. U'V'Shas Bracha Lo Matzinu Im Chayv L'Naneh B'Tchilas Netila. Says Tosfos, we don't even know whether there is such a dinner. Forget about making a bracha on it. We don't even know it exists. There's no Mishnah to that effect. The Mishnah says Beferish that you shake and hollow. No mention in Tanur mention of shaking Bishas Bracha. Ella says Tosis, listen to the roundabout raya Tosis is gonna bring you. Listen to Azariah. Medaminim appear can cut the adel and a neachai belulav. Gemara says that how old does a child have to be in order to be chayv in chinuch, in order to have to make sure he shakes a lulav? He has to be old enough to know how to shake a lulav. How old does it take for cutting through? 5, 6, I don't know how old it takes. Maybe you give a 3-year-old a lulav, probably bang his younger sibling on the head with it. So he's ain't he gil chinuch. But the basic shia for chinuch is once a child is old enough to know how to do the mitzvah. We're just talking about this last Purim time. It's a big, big challenge now in the shuls. Everybody knows we're trying to figure out how many people we can get into a shul safely. Kriyas HaMegillah is not thank Knesa L'Koyli. A lot of people want to hear the Megillah, rightfully so. On the other hand, Pekuch Nefesh is doicha Kriyas HaMegillah also. So we can't have too many people at the same time. So we have to multiple minyanim. How many minyanim? How many people do we have to cater to? So we're trying to figure out how many people are chayiv in Kriyas HaMegillah. So men are chayiv in Kriyas HaMegillah, women are chayiv in Kriyas HaMegillah. Ketanim she'gil l'chinuch achayiv in Kriyas HaMegillah. Ketanos she'gil l'chinuch achayiv in Kriyas HaMegillah. So with a multi-million-dollar question, what's called the gil l'chinuch? The general rule for gil l'chinuch means when a child is old enough to be able to do the mitzvah. Let's say L'Moshe, the Gemara says that if a child doesn't know how to get dressed, there's no chinuch for tzitzis. Child can't sleep the night itself in the sukkah. He wakes up every time in the middle of the night and goes crying for his mother. He's the loy gil l'chinuch of sukkah. So every mitzvah we have to size up. So lulav, kamei del naneh. What's the shi of chinuch for Kriyas HaMegillah? But he knows. He or she knows. Can sit and listen to Megillah. So if a kid could sit for 5 minutes and then going to stop banging around, humming and running around the shul and not listening, so he's loy gil l'chinuch. Yeah, in a normal year, as long as the kid doesn't disturb, we're happy to have him. Let him come for the chavaya. But there's a limit how much chavayot we can have. So if you have to choose between someone who's chayiv in the mitzvah and someone who's a 3-year-old kid who wants to come and bang haman, so the 3-year-old kid can bang haman over Zoom also. We'll make an eitz. We'll do an eitz of him also. So we're trying to we sent out our shul sent out a very delicate survey this week to try to determine who is chayiv, who is not. So I gave him the guidelines to write. If your child is old enough to sit and pay attention to Kriyas HaMegillah, so then they're called the Gil L'Chinuch, and then we have to make room for them. So we have to make an extra 1-2 minyanim to accommodate those kind of kids. The kids are low in Gil L'Chinuch. So by 11 o'clock at night, we're up to our fifth Kriyas HaMegillah already. I don't know how much we have to, make. Anyway, back to Esther. So the Gemara says that the shear of chinuch for lulav is katan agel ayadel in anea. How old is that? I don't know, 5-6 years old. Does the kid know how to say halo yet? Avdavka. He may not even know how to read. He doesn't know how to say halo. Ma'ashu din anea b'tchilas abracham she'enedel kusaylo. So Tosfos says, wait a second. Why is this kid being minaneya? We're trying to figure out, is the kid old enough to be chayav in the midst of lulav? So we're saying, does he know how to be minaneya? Who's being minaneya? He's not even saying halal anyway. He's not 10 years old, he's not to read yet. He's not going to say the halal. So who's talking about waving and shaking? So the answer is, there must be that waving and shaking the lulav is related to lulav, not just halal. True, there's a shaking b'shas halal, that's true. But if this kid is old enough to do that or not, I have no idea. But it's irrelevant because it's chayav nitzilus lulav. And if it's chayav nitzilus lulav, then it's chayav in the shaking of the lulav. And that's the shir chinuch. Kadon edel in aneya is not referring to the nanu of halal. He's not even saying halal. He doesn't know how to open a siddur yet. But he knows how to shake a lulav. So it's chayav in lulav, implying that on nanuim b'shas nitzil. That's raya number one of Tosfos, that there's an independent game of shaking a lulav. Don't do it halal.
So I've been teaching reading for the last 10 years, and I know there are grown-ups who do not know how to read. So are they going to be patur from based on that one?
No, they're chayv and halal, and if they don't know how to say the words, then they have to be yotze to shumei kohena, and they have to have somebody read it for them and be yotze to shumei kohena. But a child who doesn't know how to read yet is not chayv. And then Tosfos brings another roundabout, Raya. The old, but tani b'seches brachim b'sof tiras ha-shacha. Hiktim lotzeis laderech. Gemara says in Brachas, normally we hold off from doing all mitzvahs that are day mitzvahs until Netzacham, until sunrise. Even though Minat Torah, the Pasha says you could be Yotze from Alos HaShachar, because that's really technically the halacha beginning of Yom. But the Rabbanan, you're supposed to wait till sunrise because we're afraid. It's not always so easy to tell. So it's a cloudy night. It's hard to tell whether the dawn actually started or the shach really started yet. So Chazal were afraid if we let people shake a lulav too early, they'll end up doing it in the middle of the night, which won't be yaitzir woman until kachakabayyam erisham. You can't blow shofar, can't be the beginning, can't do any things until netzacham lechetchiva. Be the evidence if you did, you yaitzir. But then the Gemara says there's a din of mashkim laderech. What if a person, hiktim will say so derech? He's got to go. If you don't, if you don't, if he doesn't shake the lulav now, he's not going to shake there. He doesn't read Megillah now. He's got a flight to catch in a half hour, and he doesn't know how to take a Megillah with him along the way. If he doesn't lay in the Megillah now before he leaves, he's not going to be in the Megillah. So the Gemara says, okay. So hiktim letzeis l'derech, mevim lo shayfi tekeh, lulav menaneh, Megillah mekoyim. So what did we tell this fellow to do? This guy's got 3 minutes. He doesn't have time to say halal. Halal, say later, say on the trail, say on the plane, say halal. But he can't take the lulav with him on the plane. The Gemara says, no problem. Let him shake the lulav early before Netzachama, because Minatera, it's already Yom. Lulav and Minaneya. He's Minaneya. He's shaking? What's he shaking for? If he's not saying halal, why is he Minaneya? Should have just said, note the lulav and finish. No, the answer is, Tosfos, you see from here, that there is Nenuim. There are Nenuim. Bishas Bracha. That Nenuim are part of the Bracha. That is an integral part of lulav itself. Hard to say what to do with the Tosfos, because on the one hand, Tosfos conceded that there's no smoking gun Gemara that says Pam Mole Mavarech Balulav Tzorach Lenane. There is no Gemara that says that, which is startling. We would have kind of expected that. And we have almost like these little hints here and there, different Mavar Chazal, that are not even addressing this topic directly, that seem to indicate that there is a concept in Anuim, even in the absence of Halal proper. So it's kind of hard to tell. You get the impression that Tosfos thinks there really is, but maybe not 100% convinced. So could it be that Gufa is the root of the issue between the two Tosfos? That the Tosfos in Pesachim that didn't want to invoke the Nanuim of the Bracha, those Heiligen Nanuim of the Bracha, we didn't even know they exist. We got to put together two half Rayas, half two half Rayas equals one Raya. Maybe there's a Raya that the Nanuim B'Shas Bracha. Maybe yeah, maybe no. So could it be that the reason why Tosfos went for the Mechudesh Tikkun Nanuim, the Nanuim that we didn't really understand why they should even suffice to be Avilas Yosan, was because they were very, very weary with invoking the Nanuim B'Shas HaBracha, which may not even exist altogether. Whereas the Tosfos in Sukkah kind of left it vague. So we're not sure. The Tosfos in Sukkah mean like they meant the Pesachim, But it doesn't sukkah mina, they meant the new b'shas habracha. Again, we didn't clear up all the ambiguity, but I think we added enough ambiguity to show why there's ambiguity in the sugya. If you're not even sure where the first denum exists, so then it makes it pretty clear why nobody's talking about them explicitly. But Rabbi Say, we still have work to do. We still have work to do in the sugya. Because if it's true that the Nanuim are the halakhic Nanuim, and that's Lemaisa, that's what Tosa said Beferish. I mean, Tosa did say that Beferish Imsach, when they meant it in Sukkot, I can tell you for sure, but Imsach, they said it black and white. We're back to square one. How do those Nanuim help? Isn't it a different mitzvah? So the Chora, what you have to say in Tosa is a fundamental yisoid, and that is, there are two mitzvahs that we perform Sukkot morning. Every morning of Sukkot we perform. We perform shaking a lulav. We recite halal. What is the relationship between those two mitzvahs? Now we know there's some relationship because we're holding on to our lulav b'shas halal. But what I'm really asking is, are they really two separate, completely, totally separate mitzvahs? Or is there some connection between the two? And if there is a connection between the two, what exactly is the nature of that connection? So this is a throwback to the beginning of Lulav. It's hard to believe it's 2 years later almost, and we're still learning Lulav Gozel. We still didn't finish. We still got a plan to go. But way, way back, it was almost like the first week or two in Lulav Gozel, we bumped into a din of Lulav Yovesh Pasul, a dry Lulav is Pasul. And if you remember back then, we had three different Biurim in the Rishonim as to what the Psul is. Asher, the spot said, it's lacking Zekeli Ben Veyu, which is very startling because Zekeli Ben Veyu was usually only a Lechet Chilu Tekadin, very rarely, but the Evidin, and we spent Shurim on that. Taisu said, the whole thing is not true. It's based on a different thing. It's based on Priyates Hadar, an Esrog has to be Hadar, and the Torah compares the Hukshu Zelazel, the Amim are compared to one another. Lulav and Esrog are lumped together, then with Hadar carry over to Lulav as well. But then there was the third. And the third Mahalach actually has its sources in the Yerushalmi. And the Raivin and the Ran really, really made a big fuss about this Yerushalmi. The source that a Lulav Yovish is possible, Lo Hamesim Yahaluka. Those who are no longer alive can't praise a Kodesh Baruch. The lulav is dino kemes, but it's dried out, it's dead. If you remember back to the beginning of Lulav HaGozel, this was the source for the Shittas HaRan, when the Ran threw his hands up and says, how do I know how dry a lulav is to be called dry? If you remember one of the early sugyas we learned, we couldn't quite figure out what's the shear, how do you quantify dryness? Well, my hands are dry and the cold. So, I don't know. My lips are dry today. What's called dry? So the Rishonim is scrounging around to try to figure out what's dry. Well, how do you define dry? So the Ran exactly define dry. Since the Rishonim is telling us that it's based, it's linked to this possible what makes it haluka, when it looks like a dead body. What does that mean? Those were not solid notice. I'm sure those in the medical field know this. When you see a body, dead body, there's no color to it. It's lost its color already. Body is turns white, it's palish, whatever it is. So comes the Ran and says, when the lulav lost its greenness, it lost its color. You come to it and you say, this lulav is pusha dead. It's yovish, hayoka eats, it's pusha, it's dead, it's dried up, and it looks like it's dead. That's the sheer diraisa of Yavshus. Is based on this mushroom of the poskim. Didn't want to make me haluka. First state in Raza. Didn't get a raisa. And a lulav yavash is poskim. Didn't get a raisa. And there are other dinim, going back to things we spoke about in the past. There were many, many dinim that some Rishonim suggested based on this mushroom of yavash kemes. Didn't get a raisa. Didn't get a raisa. As the Ravid said that you can't use a lulav yavash the whole week, not just the first day. And you can't even use it if there's no other lulav around because it's like taking thin air. It doesn't exist. Mamash Kamisha Eino, it's Kameis Uchosh. But the Rishonim took those words of Rishami very, very seriously. Lo Meis Me'aluka. Let me stop and ask yourself, what in the world does that Rishami mean? Lo Meis Me'aluka. Since when is the lulav's goal to be mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is the lulav doing as a hit? I'll be mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we pray all the Magidi Hal are alive and well. If they're not, they're in big, big, big trouble. The Magid is a hal, the Magid is a hal is alive. What's made the Hamesi HaLukah, the mean of the lulav Esther Gadash Rabbis have to be alive? Because they're not being mahal HaShem. Who says they're being mahal? They're not talking, they're not singing, they're not mouthing, they're not expressing the words of hal. But you see, this Rishami, unbelievable, you see. What's it says, Dilam, Aziranin Watsayar? That there are parts of the natural world that sing Shevach Vodoy to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I'm not going down the route of Perk Shira, that's really a different realm. I'm talking about the world of pure Aloha. The Tilas Lulav, this is not a drush, you know, it's a Mais Aloha and a drusha, you know, and an Oshana Rabban all the night is Apidin. Tilas Lulav has the dimension of Mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Netilas Lulav is a form of Mahal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Gufa is a description of Azra and Ayar. Most of the time when I say Halo, if I say Halo on Pesach, the matzah doesn't sting. I sing. I use the matzah. Look at the matzah. Lechem L'Shoim L'Vam Harbe. I sing. I don't pick up my matzah and wave my matzah when I say Halo on Seder. But when I say Halal and Sukkot, I take my lulav and I shake them out to the sky. I shake it all directions. My lulav cries out. Dirban Shom Zier. Here, up, down, all around. Usually just the Jew says that when he screams at Shema Yisrael, up, down, all around, all directions. Here. Hey, to Hashem Kitoy. The lulav Azra and Netzayar. The lulav Shreis Chavikayim. Hashemach Vadoi to Dirban Shalom. It's a real din. And that's why the Rishami says, well, Mesim, help him come. If it's dead, it ain't singing. The phrase goes, dead men tell no tales. Dead men don't sing. Don't sing songs. There's no song. There's no song. It can't express itself. It's dead. So the lulav has to be alive also.
Yeah, that's right. The lulav has to be alive.
When we shake the lulav, we shas how. That merges together the mitzvah of Tilas Lulav and the mitzvah of Halal. Because part of the mitzvah of Tilas Lulav is taking the Lulav as a Shevach, the Hilul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the goal. L'raksas Hashem, to appease Hashem, to please Hashem. That's the goal. And the shaking of the Lulav, Bishas Halal, is a key of Lulav. It's not just I did lulav, I finished lulav, I'm all done, I put my lulav down, and now 10 minutes later I pick it up, and I start a new mitzvah. Oh my God, let's shake the lulav again, why not? No, that's not a new, it's a continuation. It's leads one, leads right into the other. Because the etzem mitzvah tils lulav is a key of an halal. So then I knew it because halal, a goof, a key of lulav. The Shulchan Aruch writes that, when is the person supposed to shake lulav? The Shulchan Aruch quotes the practice, the Misnagdim generally follow. You shake lulav right before halal. Why? What do I shake lulav for halal for? Why don't I shake lulav when I get up in the morning? The Hasidim do that. Ari HaKadosh used to do that. Used to get up first thing in the morning, the sukkah, we shake lulav. But the Misnagdim don't do that. The Misnagdim says the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, you shake lulav right before you make a bracha and you shake it right for halal. Why? The answer is because halal is the continuation of the mitzvah of lulav. It's the makot patish. It's the whole goal of lulav of Azran Ratzayar. Perhaps that's the deeper meaning in halacha / achshava that we can understand why the norm of halal is still called the Ravasi Yosan. But it ain't over yet. The mitzvah of the tilas lulav is, forget about the halal not over. The mitzvah of tilas lulav is not over yet. This idea that lulav is not just some maisa mitzvah b'yalma, but it's almost like a presentation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of a halav al-doya. But this may have maybe the root of a fascinating sheet in Rishayim. We spoke about also almost 2 years ago. We learned the beginning of lulav HaGozel, so we spent a lot of time talking about the concept of mitzvah b'yaveh. If you remember, The reason why it can't be yotzei luv hagozel, name of that parak still. Still the same parak's name 3 years later. Luv hagozel. You can't be yotzei with stolen luv. Why not? So two reasons. One because it's not called lachem, and the other because of mitzvah bavi aveira. There was a big machlekes rishonim about, does mitzvah bavi aveira apply to all mitzvahs? So Tosfos thought yes. Tosfos thought it applies to sukkah and to matzah. Every time there's a mitzvah bavi aveira, every time Tosfos says mitzvah bavi aveira applies, and Tosfos tries to figure out why the Gemara doesn't talk about every mitzvah you turn to Tosfos plugs in our sugya mitzvah bavi aveira, mitzvah bavi aveira. There's another opinion rishonim. The Ritva quotes such a possibility. It's the Tosfos of Beit Peretz in Maseches Pesachim that has such a possibility. It says that mitzvah bavi aveira doesn't apply to all mitzvahs. The original source of mitzvah bavi aveira is by Karbonos. If you remember back to the beginning of Perek Lulagozo, it's actually derived from Sukkah from Karbonos. They, Tosfos of Beit Peretz and the Ritva and Yeshayim, mitzvah bavi aveira applies to mitzvahs such as Karbonos that are mitzvahs that we're be merate Kodesh Baruch Hu with. We're presenting a Kodesh Baruch with something. We're trying to give a Kodesh Baruch, so to speak, something. You're giving a Kodesh Baruch something that's not yours, that's stolen. Don't do many taibis, don't do many favors. They're a group of Rishonim. You want to eat in a stolen sukkah? We can discuss that. You want to eat stolen matzah? We can even discuss that. I didn't say it's good, no good, you are yet. Maybe you're not yet for other reasons. But that's not mitzvah of it. The only two places in halacha that the Gemara says those words, it's a very befeirish. The only time there's an absolute concept of a very say some Rishonim, only by Karbanis and by Lulav. And the Rishonim coined a phrase, those are mitzvahs of Ritzoy. I'm appeasing a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What does it mean, Meratzes? You try to be Meratza somebody, you praise the person. That's what we do. We're Meratza before we ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu and a Shemoneh Esrei for Abba Koshes, we're Meratza first. Ratzah means you talk about the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what you do with the Lulav. You're Meratzah Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're giving Shevach Vadoit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're giving, presenting Shevach Vadoit HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That you can't do with stolen goods. You don't give a gift to somebody, something that's stolen. Better not to give the gift altogether. You want to eat your own matzah that's stolen between you and the matzah, box of matzah, that's your problem. But don't give me a gift, says the Revenge. But they say, what halacha do we have in Hukas Lulav that highlights this more than anything else? There's a notion, a concept of Ritzoy that connects Lulav to Karbanos. Gemara says that there are two times where we do Tnufa, where we shake and we wave things. Certain Karbanos require Shokatruva v'chazeh Tnufa. There are tenufas in certain kabanas, or nazir, kabanas of nazir. There is a halachas of tenufa in the parish of kabanas. And the only other place in halacha you find tenufas are by lulav. So you have, let's say, your main if the yomer, your main if the shtei lechem, and your main if certain parts of kabanas, and your main if the lulav. Tenufa is an act of ritzoy. I'm speaking out to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm acknowledging Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Melech here, and he's the Melech here, and he's the Melech here, and he's the Melech here. I do that with my Korban, I do that with my Mincha, I do that with my Shokatrim Chazia Tinufa, and I do that with my Lulav and Esrei. So the Nanuim Bishas Halal are not a Halal Dikadin in the perfect sense of the word. You're a Lulav Dikadin. Therefore, they warrant reciting a bracha. They warrant the bracha being placed before them. As long as you haven't yet done the nanuim, you haven't quite finished the job. The Rabbi said, what we've seen so far is almost two very, very different opinions about where the nanuim are and aren't. So according to the beginning of the Taisus and Sukkah, and even perhaps the end, we're not even sure there are nanuim. B'shasa bracha. We don't even know they exist. The nanuim b'shasa bracha. Maybe Tosfos put together a couple of gemaras that seem to point. Maybe efshiyodin. Yeah. Then you have the other approach that's saying, yeah, they exist. All right. Tosfos himself says, oh boy. Tosfos the Flavid Zayin says, yeah, they exist. We have rayas, they exist. So we're not sure. Either they don't exist, or maybe they exist. Bekoshi they exist in hiding. There's actually a third possibility. The third possibility is the Shitas HaRaviyah, one of the Gedolei Rishonim. The Pirul Balei Tosfos. Rav Yoh says, almost counterintuitive to everything we've said, Rav Yoh said, of course they are not nuim b'shas habracha. Not only are they nanuim b'shas habracha, those are the real nanuim. That's the real nanuim the Chazal speak about. Katan shadel and aneya, that's it. That's the real McCoy. The Mishnah talks about nanuim b'shas halel. Zachter Rav Yo, that's the afterthought nanuim. Those are also shtim nanuim. Those are also okay. We want to know what the real emes and nanuim are the first. And the Rav Yo gives you a fascinating moshul to highlight that. He said, you know, it's a strange thing. Where do we find that? Yeah, we're doing the mitzvah of nanuim, whatever the goal of nanuim is. We do it once, and then we totally repeat it a second time. What are we doing that for? What's the purpose of that? To completely, totally repeat the second set of nanuim for what? What's the goal? Says Rav Yo, Matzina Devar Kazeh. We have such a concept. Says the Rav Yo, we would do it 2 weeks earlier with Kish Shofar. We blow the shofar, and we're totally, completely convinced we've been yotzei. We've done everything we had to. And we get up and we say, Asher am yodei shru Hashem b'panecha yaleichu. We're done. Hashem yodei shru. We know we're doing. We're done. We're finished. We're yotzei. Asher yodei shru. I always said that it's almost like a little bit of a cynical statement. Like, I don't think we meant it that way. But we the emphasis, we have no idea what the shru is. There are three possibilities. We blow every single possible permutation that we have under the sun. And to make sure what you say, and then when the first words out of our mouth, Ashrei Olam Yodei Surua, that we pat ourselves in the back. We got it right, Yodei Surua. Yeah, you for sure got it right because you tried every possibility under the sun. So number one, that was right. I don't think Chazal meant it that way, but I always found it. You know, other times it's not laughing at the Kishofa, but I always found it humorous. Yeah, I'm sorry.
So how can he compare those two? We have the we learned that the Tkiot, the way we did them, is because we have a suffix. Yeah, la la, yeah, ba ba.
100%. No, I didn't get to the point yet.
Well,
no,
you have the suffix.
I didn't get to the punchline yet. Wait, I only said half the story. The tekiyas that we do before Musaf are the real tekiyas, and we do all different possibilities. So I'm not sure what the real truly is, but once we finish all those true possibilities, we are done. We are good to go. We can pat ourselves in the back and put the shofar away till next year. But we don't do that. What do? 20 minutes later, we're blowing again. I'll say that Rav Malchi is a chayin shayfer. We're blowing. Nachamo, second time we're blowing. The censor of Yo, what are you blowing a second time for? You were yaitzei already. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The first time, at least the Rav Yo's learning Pshat in the Gemara, the first time was the real mitzvah, and the afterwards is la'arvis ha-satan. That's the Lashon Gemara. To confuse the satan. The Rav Yo says, you see, the Chazal instituted such a concept. The Chazal instituted a concept that we blow shofar once to be yaitzei the real mitzvah, and then we do a nachamol arvus ha-satan. Says the Rav Yo, that's what's going on in my lulav also. The real emissa, nanuim, are the first ones. Those are the ones that a person just shakes, and the secondary ones are the nanuim b'shas halel. That's the same Moshe. Azoy shteitin raviyot. The Rosh quotes the raviyot. Azoy shteitin raviyot. The second set of nanuim are arvus ha-satan. It's startling both lulav and shofar, because many Rishonim have very, very big problems with that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah of Tezayim. It says, Lama taking shem yeshvim taking shem. I mean, why don't we blow shofar one set and then we blow shofar a second set? And the Gemara seems to say the second set is la'arvus ha-satan, to mix up the satan. It makes it sound like the real tekiyas, the heart and soul tekiyas shofar, is the first set. You know what the problem is? That the Mishnayis and the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah don't even say anything about blowing before Musaf. Every tekiyas shofar mentioned, the Mishnah talks about aseid brachas. The Mishnah says, you blow b'malchus, you blow b'zichronos, you blow b'shofars. All the tekiyas as recorded in the Mishnah are the second sets of tekiyas. The first one weren't even mentioned. So the Rishonim are turning, making somersaults and say, wait a second, no. Aren't the first ones there, Isa? Isn't that Yom Tov Yavochem? So it's a strange thing, according to Rav Yo, that the real emes, the tekiyas of Moshe Rabbeinu, are not even mentioned in the Mishnah. They're like, everybody knows that. That's like, move on to Abel. And by the way, the Mishnah is telling us, but the Rabban, you have to blow the second time around. That's the Iris HaSom. So that same strange presentation exists for Luluf. That according to the Rav Yoh, the real Nanuim, the Emissa Nanuim, the real McCoy, the real Ajran, let's say, the real Emissa Yadel and Anea is the first Nanuim B'Shes HaBracha, which don't even appear in Chazal, at least not explicitly. And all talking in Chazal about Nanuim are the Mishnah and Lamed Zayin Rabbeis, Heichrim and Nanuim, B'Hod L'Shem T'chil V'Seif An Hashem HaShiyonah. So it's the same gotcha in our heads that we had back in Rosh Hashanah. If the first ones are the real ones and the second ones are the, I don't want to call them the fake ones, but they're the less significant, they're the subtle ones, not the real ones. So then why all the publicity in Shas about the second ones and no one mentioned the first ones? And the same is true about the Lulav. If the Rav Yoh's Dimyon, his Moshel is right, it's bizarre. That if you didn't learn Maseches Sukkah and Brachas carefully, you may have even missed the first ones. Tosfos dug up two possible riyas, but I'm sure they exist. Tosfos themselves weren't sure they exist. It's a very, very strange thing. But it's a state in Rav Yoh and Rishon, Halakha Rishon, state design. If there's a Dimyon, there's a comparison between the first and the second. Nanuim, the same as a comparison between the first and the second shakings. What in the world is the comparison? Assuming that comparison is correct, if the Rav Yoh, if there's a Rishon, you have to understand that. What's the comparison? What is the La'arvis HaSotan of Rosh Hashanah of Shofar? Before we understand what that La'arvis HaSotan is, we don't know what that means. It's going to be kind of hard to extrapolate to Lulav. So what was the goal of La'arvis HaSotan with the second Tekiyas? What was the great Irvis HaSotan? How exact does blowing Shofar a second time confuse the Sotan? There's a big machlekes of Rishonim. We spoke about this many times. Rishonim Shur, machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. What is the accomplishment of La'arvis? How in the world is the second Tekiyas La'arvis HaSotan? So, Tosfos quotes a fascinating medrash. real fascinating. Tosfos says, imagine the Beis and Shambhala, something sitting in the corner, and he hears, the Jews are blowing shofar. Now, his job today is to be Mitzi Laz and Chalazim. That's his job. He wants to be Patrick, Krasotan, right? Take up a son of the Val yesterday. And his job is to say all the bad things, all the things we've done all year wrong. He's got a laundry list a mile long to talk about Klaus. So we start to hear the Jews are blowing shofar. You think it bothers him, says Tosfos. And when the Jews are eating matzah, and when they're singing the sukkah, they're putting on tefillin, it doesn't bother him. Every mitzvah they do, I'll find you 25 of every. So the sultan is not at all taken aback by mitzvahs. That doesn't scare him. It doesn't mess him up. Mitzvah here and there doesn't bother him. They say from the Chofetz Chaim that if you ever notice, when a person wants to do certain midas chassidus, usually very easy to do. A guy decides, and it should not be taken at all in a negative, derogatory, not in the slightest, and I really don't mean it any way bad. A guy decides he's going to wear a gartel. There's usually very, very little obstacles there. It's also anyway, except one line, I want to wear a gartel, good. Goes to the sperm, puts a gartel, puts in a gartel, good. Everyone asks somebody for a gartel. My meaning is to wear a gartel, I'm good. A guy decides, he's gonna grow his pay, but very, very nice, easy come, easy go, no problem. Picks up this means chassidus and that means chassidus and this means chassidus and that means, but nobody said do. All of a sudden, the guy decides, you know what? I'm gonna sit and learn 12 hours a day. It's a heart goes ballistic. He starts checking his phone in the middle, and he gets distracted, and then he has to go get himself a cup of coffee, and he's got And he can't concentrate, he has to take a break, and he can't follow it. And he can't. And the same Reb Yid who had no trouble putting on a gartel, he can't learn for 12 hours. What's the difference? Chaim said that the Satan, Yetzirah, who's Satan Malchamavus, whatever that Yetzirah, other Rabin Urav. I'm not talking about some, you know, from some. Very, very real, my Yetzirah, my inner psyche, does not view putting on a gartel as a great challenge. Not going to make or break his avodah. The Satan's avodah is to get me to do a virus. That's my Yetzirah's job, getting paid for. Make me do a virus. Whether I put on the gartel or don't put on the gartel, it's not going to interfere with his job. I can say, do many, many avodahs with the gartel, okay. But the minute that the Sultan sees me starting to learn, when I learn Torah, in Yana Diyama, this is the vaccine. That's what the Gemara says in Kedushin. Barasi Sam Maves, Patrati Torah Tavlin, Torah is the medicine. As the antibodies. When you start, the Torah starts to work in the system, so the infection is going to disappear. All the HR is going to disappear. So the Satan fights, Shreichai the Kayim, well, you get that vaccine, he'll give you mites, he'll tell you be an anti-vaxxer, he'll tell you this, every nonsense, he'll tell you, be an anti-Torah, he'll tell you, don't learn Torah, don't do it. Why? Because he knows that's his doom. What about the Chafetz Chaim's Moshe back to this? Place it says, when the Sultan hears a Jew blowing shofar, big deal. One mitzvah here. But when the Kish shofar is over, all of a sudden the Jews are blowing Nochamo a second time. The Sultan says, oh my goodness, it's not Rosh Hashanah anymore. They already heard their kailas. There's only one other reason why the Jews are blowing them. Must be called Shem Melech HaMashiach. And if Mashiach's coming, I'm out of business. And the Satan gets confused, doesn't know where to put himself. That's the second code. And now when it comes time for the Bezin Shamala to convene, and the Bezin Shamala begins, the Satan's cowering in the corner somewhere because he thinks that Mashiach already came. He thinks his job's over. He thinks he's out of luck. He's looking for another job. He's filing for unemployment in the emails of Mashiach. So he state ties his quotes Azah Kabbalah, Azah tradition. That's the second kiss. A beautiful, beautiful marshal. What in the world have to do with the tears lulav? Absolutely nothing. Nothing to do. So the Rav Yoh clearly was not going with that ties. If the Rav Yoh is comparing repeating lulav to repeating shofar, that is not the reason why we're praying. That is not the Ivers of Sultan. But clearly the Rav Yoh was going with Rashi's. Rashi says the more, I guess we call it the more down to earth, the more litvishim esnagdish pshat. What's the lives of Satan, such Rashi? The Jews blow shofar, good, they do mitzvahs, big deal. A lot of people do mitzvahs, Satan doesn't bother them. But when they blow the second time, it shows, asach habibus ha-mitzvah. They can't stop. It's such a big, they can't get away from the shofar, they love Rosh Hashanah, so they love the mitzvah, Shem is baruch, asach habibus ha-mitzvah, such Rashi. Chavivus HaMitzvah does the Satan. And doing a mitzvah doesn't destroy the Satan. Chavivus HaMitzvah does. You want to know what the vaccine against the Satan is? The vaccine is the Slavus HaMitzvahs. Chavivus HaMitzvahs. That's expressed by doing the mitzvah more than you have to. Why it's not Potosif is a whole lot, not a Lomda Shashayla, not for now. But it's the Chavivus HaMitzvah that does the Satan. If that's the Pshat, then the Rav Yom makes a lot of sense. We can do Chavivus HaMitzvahs Rosh Hashanah, do it again on Sukkot. So the same Chavivus HaMitzvah I did Rosh Hashanah, it didn't suffice with one set of tkiyas. I blew Nochamol to shut that Satan down. And I repeat it again on Sukkot. But that model of the Rav Yoh is a whole new spin of what we're doing. Why the multiple tkiyas? Rabbi Yisai, I think we can add a little bit more to the Rav Yoh. Add a knesh to the Rav Yoh. Nates to the Rav Yoh that the goal of the second Anuim of Shashal is Arvus HaSotam. Makes perfect sense in light of the very, very famous Medrash. The Medrash says, why do we wave out of love him like wild on Sukkot? What's it all about? What's it all about? The Medrash gives a marshal. The Medrash says, soldiers go out to war, go out to battle. In those days, there were no cell phones out of the battle. We have no idea what's going on. We have no idea that they win or not. And they're coming back now. But we don't know. Are they retreating and the enemy's on the outskirts of town? Or were they victorious? We have no idea. So the ancient world, says the Medrash, there used to be a Simen Mufak. You know what the Simen Mufak was? They would pick up their swords and spears and wave them in the air. And then the townspeople would see that they're waving from afar. That was a Simen. Everything's safe and everything. We won. We were victorious in battle, nothing to worry about anymore. That was the sign of Nitzachon of the Muhammad. Look, the Medrash Klai Yisrael goes out to war on Rosh Hashanah. You're out to war against the Yetzara. You're out to war in order to win victorious in the Yemadin. And we don't know who won. We don't know whether we won or not. Comes Matzah Yom Kippur, and the Baskel comes and says, you're victorious. What do we do right after Yom Kippur? Our first opportunity, 4 days later, we don't just pick up a lulav. We shake the lulav like wild. And when you look, turn around to the shul in the middle, and everyone's shaking the lulav, what everyone is really saying is, we won. We won. We are victorious. We won the Yom Adin. The mitzvah of the Tilas lulav is the culmination of the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar. It is not coincidental that Tkiyah Shofar and Tilas lulav are exactly 2 weeks apart. On the same day, we come back for part two. Tilas lulav is part two of Tkiyah Shofar. Tkiyah Shofar is the beginning of the din, and Tilas lulav is the Gemara din. That's what the Medrash says. After the Tilas lulav, that's when the clock starts again for the Tilas for Aveiros. That's when the new year begins. There's a 4 days little break in between. You know, but what's to say, because there's no time, you're so busy building a sukkah, buying a lulav, there's no time to do any Aveiros. But it's more than that. That the Tilas lulav is the haschal of the Nuzman. Because at the end of last Muchama, now beginning of next year's challenge, the Tilas lulav is the celebration of Tkiyah Shofar. So apropos, the same way that we have a second Tkiyah Shofar for Avos HaSatan, we have a second Tilas lulav Avos HaSatan as well. Some of the Makaris I quoted now a little bit. I'll give you a raya from a Gemara. A startling, startling Gemara. Take a look at Sukkah Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about how you shake the karbanos. And the Gemara says in the third line, the top of Amar Rav Achim Belulav. You shake the lulav. That's what we said before. Lulav and karbanos are the same. Look at the next line. Rav Acha bar Yaakov, mematilei umaisilei. He would bring the lulav to him and push it away from him. We do shake in all directions, up, forward, etc. And when he shook the lulav, he would say, Omer, din gira be'enei desitna. There should be an arrow in the eyes of the sultan. I'm shaking the lulav. What do I mean? Leave the sultan. He's sleeping from Rosh Hashanah already. He went to sleep already 2 weeks ago. I wake him up. Dain gira be'enei desitna. This is the arrow in the eyes of the sultan. The Gemara says Rav Acha ben Yaakov was 100% right at what he did, but don't do it. You should ask the Geruah Bay, because you're going to get the sun, you're going to wake him up. But let sleeping dogs sleep. Don't wake him up, though. Don't start with Yetzer too much. But Karoni's right. Why is he doing that? For what's he meant? Who mentioned the Sultan here? This Gemara is the Mocha for the Rabbi. But the second Nitilus Lulav, the second shaking, is La Ibis the Sultan, like the second Kish. The Baisai, we have a little bit of a mixture here, Halacha and Drosh, leading into Chodesh Adar. It's the wrong time of year, but what can you do? There is no such thing as the wrong time of year. You know, as we've said many, many times, that you know, mitzvahs have a very specific time frame to them. Talmud Torah doesn't. You can sit and say Papula about Tkiyah Shofar in the middle of Chodesh Nisan also. you can learn Psachim in the middle of Chodesh Elul. So that's not a theory. No, Torah is time. Everything. The Rabbi say, everything we've said up to now has really been to answer one basic halacha question. What justification do we have to recite a bracha after we did the mitzvah? Because at the end of the day, once you pick it up, you answer it. It's not, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, you didn't finish yet, you're still missing the anuim. The first anuim, the second anuim, or the first anuim, what are the second anuim? Is a dinim and halal, dinim and lulav, a lot of stuff flying around. We were introduced to the Rav Yos, different from Pashas, everyone else. At the end of the day, the same teretz is holding all these different manifestations of it. We are sanctioning a bracha al smach, the mitzvah that hasn't been completed. But Rabbi said there's still one annoying question, which hopefully Mitzvah will set the stage for next week. I hope everyone enjoyed the significance of Nanuim, but acharei kechlos hakol, it's not ma'akiv. With the Agri Nafik Ben. If Acharei Chosko, you didn't shake the lulav at all, nish talo, nish bracha, nothing, you were still yitzeh. you missed this whole drasha, but you were still yaitzeh. You didn't do the mitzvah, but you were still yaitzeh. How could we have a concept of sanctioning a bracha al smach an action that is not important enough to be makif? So yes, it's a kiyum in lulav, it's not a bezundered. Yeah, I got all that. But it's not makif. Heichon shemano, heichon reinu, a bracha al smach, something that's not makif. That sets the stage for the next week. Believe it or not, we'll be going backwards in terms of time-wise, because next week we're going to introduce some sugi from Hilchas Chanukah. As we get closer to Purim, we'll talk more about Chanukah. There's a sugi Hilchas Chanukah that's going to hopefully shed some light. So when I told tonight to bring the Gemara and Shabbos also, I guess I was not myself the Chavs Chus. We get to that part of the sugi and Shabbos when it was Chanukah. We didn't quite get this. So much. Next week we'll pick up from the Chanukah angle.
Okay, what was the Makor, the last Makor we spoke about? It was Lamed.